thank God for the opportunity to share God's word. And I pray that God will speak to us in a language that we understand. So you're much welcome. Yeah, so we've been we've been looking at weapons of warfare that God gives the believers. And I think from the onset, I said that we need to know that we are in a war. Whether we like it or not, whether we are ignorant of it or not, or whether we want it, you know, there are people who say, no, don't talk about the devil, don't disturb him. I mean, if you don't disturb him, he will not disturb you. But that you cannot hide your head in the sand, but you must know that it is a battle. We are in a battle. And as the same thing that we've been learning in Christianity is that we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. That means that there are things that Christ has already won for us. And our job is to lay claim of it, is to apprehend it, is to strive towards it, and to walk in that victory. Think of it like, let's say you were given a will by your father, and you've been told that you've gotten all this land in, let's say, Taita Taveta or somewhere, and you have a paper, you've been declared a will, and it is yours. But you see, you have to go on ground and take possession of that land. That means you have to go exercise a lawyer, exercise the land surveyors, let them mark it out for you, and then you will have to put in the spikes and put in a fence. Otherwise, if you don't do that, what you will have are squatters on your land. So what we must understand is that the devil is very stubborn in that he already knows that the Christians have been given the victory. They have already been given the power. They have the authority. The kingdom is theirs. Everything is won and delivered and captured in Christ. But he is stubborn in that if you do not exercise your power, if you do not exercise your authority, if you don't know your rights, if you don't walk in the liberty that God has given you, then you shall find that he shall take advantage of that, and he shall make light meal of you. So generally, just today I want us to look at advancement by power. And I believe that the kingdom of God advances by power. And we'll look at a number of things that that show us that the kingdom of God advances by power. And this tells us also that we also in our lives, if we are to advance, if we are to move forward, if we are to take hold of what Christ has apprehended for us, then we must also use the tools of power or the weapons of power that God and Jesus fought for us and has already conquered for us and has given us the victory for that. And I believe this is very important for the believer, because without it, then you will find that there are things that are not working, or things that you will be looking for power in different places. I know nowadays there are people who have different types of powers, but the only power that the Christian is to be given is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So generally, I'll state this statement that kingdoms rule by exercising their power and authority. And you see, power can be economic power. You can find that the rich people are quite powerful. They can also be military power. You know, kingdoms that have the military strength, that are powerful. You can imagine a nation that is very tiny, but because of its military power, it's able to protect itself. Also, there's also spiritual power. And you know, there are also those who, even academic power, you can find that there are those who exercise their power. You mean those with the PhDs and the professors, and they will really show you that you don't know. But I think the greatest power is the spiritual power. And this is the power of God. And this is where this controls all other forces, because you can find someone who is using the wrong kind of spiritual powers affecting those who are at high levels, those who are different levels of academics and all that, and you will wonder, but What is the impact? A small girl can kill a professor based on the power that she is using, because spiritual power is always greater than any human source of power. And one of the things that we must know, that the kingdom of God is not just about talk, and this is something that Paul says, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of word, but a matter of power. And that one, you can be able to read that in you can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. But I want us to read how, when Jesus sent his disciples, you remember he sent in Luke chapter 10, he sent 72 disciples to go and evangelize. And you know, at the onset of the chapter, he says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 72 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place wherewith he will come. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest is truly grateful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Then I want to quickly jump to where I wanted us to read. Verse 17 is when the 72 return. And the Bible says, and the 72 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Or rather, I saw Satan fall down like lightning from heaven. And verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirit subjects to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in his spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So you can see, when Jesus sent the 72 disciples and they went and they came back rejoicing, they say, oh my God, the demons submit to us, the lame walk, the blind see, you know, the sick people are healed. And Jesus tells them that, you know what? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I give you power to tread over snakes and scorpions. That means that there is, for the kingdom of God to be exercised, for the kingdom of God to advance, you will need to receive the power to tread over snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. Ideally, if two kingdoms are in place and one kingdom wants to conquer the other, then they will have to have a clash. And when they clash, the lesser kingdom is destroyed and is completely overpowered by the greater kingdom. And so this is what happened, that when the kingdom of God was sent, when Jesus sent the disciples to preach the kingdom of God, remember their message was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. When they preached that message, God accompanied their message with signs, miracles, and wonders, and with the power. So he gave them the power over the work of the devil. So Jesus did not just send his disciples without power. So whenever you are sent somewhere, it might be sent to a new country, you might be sent to a new workplace, you might be sent to a new mission, to a new church, or to a new place. Anyone who goes and is able to establish anything has been sent with power, or has understanding of the power that God has given him. Why? Because God does not send anyone without the power, the requisite power that he needs. So Jesus sent his disciples with power. Then let's look at Matthew 28 and see what was the strategy of Jesus when he was leaving the earth? What did he tell his disciples when he was commissioning them? And in verse 18, Matthew 28, the Bible says that, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So you can see when Jesus was resurrected, he had already conquered the devil. Remember, he has conquered the devil. He had made a public spectacle of them. And we'll look at those verses to see what Jesus did in conquering the kingdom of darkness. After that, he says, "All power, not half power, not a little bit power, not that there is any power that the devil is left with. For the believer, all power is given unto Christ in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and teach all nations." So, anyone who is in the kingdom of God comes under the power and receives the power and is apprehended the power that Jesus has given. But there's something that we need to reflect on. Now, why is it that not everyone can demonstrate the power? You see, you find that there are many believers, there are many pastors, there are many teachers, there are many ministers of God, but we don't see a demonstration of the power. Now, is it because that the power is not given, or what is needed, or what is it that is not available that we don't see the physical manifestation of the power that we need in the church? And we're going to look at two verses. We're going to look at Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 49. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to read from verse 49. And the Bible says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Basically, he was telling them, this was before Jesus leaves. He tells them, "Behold, I will send you the promise of the Father." Who is the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. And he says, "But tarry ye, wait ye, spend time in my presence, wait in my presence, wait worshiping, be before me, stay before me, grow in me, understand me. Know my words, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed, you are clothed with power from on high." That means that he gave them the power, he received the power from on high, all power and authority is given to him, but then he tells them, "You need to tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." So that means they had an obedience to fulfill. They had an instruction to fulfill that will lead them towards the power that Christ had apprehended and has won for them. And let's look at Acts chapter 1 from verse 4. And it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." Remember, Acts and Luke are written by the same author. So the last chapter of Acts ties together to the First, sorry, the last chapter of Luke ties together with the book of Acts, and that's why you're able to read them continuously, and that's why you can see it's similar. Luke, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." Remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, which said he that you have heard of me. Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days henceforth." And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Think of that question. You remember, for them, they are under Roman rule. So they are thinking of the kingdom of Israel coming to conquer, the kingdom of Rome and, giving them their freedom and all that. So that's why their mindset is kingdom. You can see they're asking, are you at the same time, are you going, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at how it's put. I mean, at times it's good to look at wordings. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That means that you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive the promise of the Father. But then after that, you shall receive power. So at times people stop in when they speak in tongues. They receive the Holy Spirit, they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they stop. Or rather, they stop there, and then they don't see a demonstration of the power that they are asking God for. He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon. So for me, how I look at it is that power is also another step in the process, another journey that you continue as you continue walking in the faith of God, that you shall see that God shall release his the power. And here I'm talking the physical demonstration, the manifestations of authority, of healing the sick, of raising the dead. And I'm not referring to the power that comes to overcome the works of the devil, or the power to live in righteousness, or the power to be a child of God. So there's power that we receive by virtue of Christ coming into our lives. We receive the power, the power to be a child of God, the power. There's the Holy Ghost also gives us power. But here I'm talking about the physical advancement, the demonstration of miracles, wonders, and signs, the power that we need to advance the gospel. That's what I was saying, is advancing the gospel by power, advancement by power. And even like, let's say you're going to a new country, you will need the power because you're going to face people there who have different forms of power, and you will need to displace them. And he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So the disciples, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they were in the day of Pentecost. They had fully come. They were together in one accord in place. Remember, what were they doing? They were praying together, meeting daily, receiving the word of God, being taught the word of God. Then what happens? The day of Pentecost comes, and they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house and where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you can see they received the power to speak in other tongues. This is something that they did not have before. So the manifestation of speaking in tongues was released to them. And this is because there was a process, there was an obedience that they had. Remember, we talked yesterday about our obedience needing to be complete. Their obedience was complete. They were given instructions. What instructions were they given? Wait in Jerusalem, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit. So you shall receive power after that which, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So when they were together, they were worshiping to God, they were praying together, they were hearing the word of God, they were tarrying together in the upper room. Then the Holy Ghost comes upon them and they began to speak with other tongues. Now, speaking in tongues is very important. I know nowadays we like to keep people or tell them, no, it's okay, it's not a must. But speaking in tongues is seen as an evidence. This is what happens when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Think of the house of Cornelius. When Peter was preaching to them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak in other tongues. And then they said, when they saw that they were also filled with the Holy Spirit just as they were, then they said, what can stop them from being baptized? So it is a manifestation, it's an evidence that is seen that this person is baptized with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what happens? You see, Peter, who was quite timid, preaches, and 5,000 people are added to their number. But now let us jump to Acts chapter 6. And remember, the church has grown. And what happens is they start taking care of the poor, they start feeding the widows, and they start, you know, giving them, food and all that. But then verse 1, it says, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews, which are the Greek Jews, Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So they were being given food, and by then the Greek widows complained that they were being discriminated against. Then verse 2, the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So I want us to see the movement of this. First of all, we see that, and Stephen is our case study of how he was just an ordinary, how can you say, you can just say he was an ordinary member of the church. But what did he have? He had the character. He was a man of honest report. Number two, he was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And number three, he was appointed to serve. He was appointed to serve. So he was serving God. Now, the apostles, what did the apostles do? The apostles, when they appointed them, they laid their hands over them. So they gave them that ministration. They were given them. And verse 7 is very key for me. And the word of God increased. Then we see that Stephen, a man full of faith and power. So for me, what I see is there is prayer involved. There is waiting and gathering together involved. Then there is being filled with the Holy Spirit involved. The man has to be full of the Holy Ghost. Then there is the word of God coming in, being preached. The word of God increased. So great, so mightily grew the word of God. The word of God. As people are taught the word of God, then what happens? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So as the word of God is taught, as you're continually hearing the word of God, as you're continually subjecting yourself to the word of God, what happens is that you grow in your faith, then you become full of faith. So what are the ingredients we see? We are seeing an ingredient of the character, honest report. We are seeing an ingredient of course, being born again, then being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we are seeing an ingredient of prayer, ministry of the word. Then we are also seeing an ingredient of being full of faith. And then when the full of faith comes in, then the power comes in, and power. So if we are to advance with power, if we are to advance the kingdom of God by power, then we must be men of prayer. We must be men of the word of God. We must be honest in our character. We must be full of the Holy Ghost. We must be constantly filling ourselves with the word of God. And when we are full of faith, then we are able to do the demonstrations of the word of God. And also think of Acts chapter 8. Remember, we have just read of Philip there. He was one of those who are called to wait on tables. You remember what happens when the church was scattered? Verse 4, it says, therefore they that were scattered went abroad and went everywhere preaching the word of God. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, and they were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used such sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him they had that regard, because for a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. So think of this other man. Remember, he started with wisdom. He was a man full of wisdom. Nothing else was mentioned of Philip. But now we see he moved on to demonstrate power. Signs, miracles, and wonders were happening. But you see, it was because the kingdom of God needed to advance. It needed to advance. And you see, when the kingdom of God entered into Samaria, the guy who was calling himself the great power had to surrender. He had to surrender. Why? Because the kingdom of God is greater than any power of witchcraft. Remember, Jesus said, I give you power to tread over snakes and scorpions. Snakes and scorpions refers to wizards and witches. He gives you power. That's why you are not supposed to even be worried about them. You have the power, but you have a responsibility to exercise your authority. Remember, you have to go and lay hold of the land. You have to go and possess the land. You have to pray. You have to fast. You have to speak the word of God. And as you tarry, as you wait, what happens is even in the spiritual realms, you grow in authority. And then these things become a part of you. It becomes a byproduct. Power is just a byproduct of your intimacy with God and the authority and the rank that God grows you in. As you continue to grow, as you continue to tarry, as you continue to know that as you wait after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, continue in the same way. Like, it is something that you have to keep on in that place. That's why no matter which country you go and you've started this morning prayer, continue. Even if the teacher is not there, continue. Why? Because there are things you're building, and you will find that there are things that used to disturb you that fall away. And you don't even know when they fell away. They just fell away. Why did they fall away? Because you grew in power and authority. So I will stop there for today, and I pray that you will exercise your authority and your power, even in the workplace. There are things that are not right. Exercise the spiritual authority that God has given you. You need to lay hold and claim, lambano, you need to grab it by force. For you to advance, you will need power. It might be sickness, you have to fight it out. You're already healed, but you have a responsibility to lay hold of that which Christ has promised. So I'll stop there, my brother. You're welcome for any reflections here.
Thank you, Ben, for the wonderful word. Indeed, and the Bible says that the Trinity is a description of the unique relationship of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think it goes further to say that Jesus, if he had stayed on earth in his physical presence, perhaps that would have limited the spread of the good news, because physically, I think he would be only in one place at a time. But when Christ taken up in heaven, then he became spiritually present everywhere. And I think through the Holy Spirit, he could then, through the Spirit, he would then comfort and fill his followers. I think there is also an aspect of, being patient sometimes, because I think also it is instructed somewhere that, when the disciples were with Christ, they kept on wondering whether the kingdom that Christ was talking about was a physical kingdom that, Israelites would be freed from the Romans and all that. But then Christ told them, it's in the heart. And for your kingdom, you have to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That means that you have to live in your heart. And I think he went ahead to instruct his disciples, telling them that we need to, wait on Christ on the right time, because God is the timetable for everything. We won't run ahead of God without waiting on the Holy Spirit to fill us. And know you can be effective in anything that you do without having the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. I think it's very important to remember that always as a Christian. And yeah, thanks for sharing that. It has brought a lot of reflections as you're speaking. We trust on our own abilities and powers, and sometimes when they tell you to pray over something, you think it's a wastage of time. Sometimes you say you will pray over it, and you end at that the following day doing it, because you've already done your own human calculations. But at the end of the day, yes, it could be fruitful, because God is merciful. Even in your way, he may bless you. But then, oftentimes, we find ourselves, making several blunders, and you wonder why. That's because the aspect of presence, of patience, also lacks in us Christians. Because God has his own time, and his time is right. Yeah.
No,
Over to you.
yeah, thank you for that. I think, yeah, the aspect of patience is very important, because that's where many people go wrong, and many servants of God go wrong looking for instant power, because they see, the many ministries that are having power, and since they believe that God delays, or the process of God is too long. So they go and look for shortcuts, and they go to witch doctors and all those things, and they don't end up well. They don't end up well. So I think I really appreciate your your reflection on the need for patience, and that's the tarry, wait in Jerusalem. And I think one of the things that also will guarantee that power is that you no longer even have a lust for it. You know, the challenge is at times people have a lust for power. That means they want it so that they can be the most anointed minister. They can be the greatest. You know, the ministry can have the most money. There it is lust. And you remember we read in James, if you ask with the wrong motives, you will never get it. But those who know that this is God, we need this to advance the kingdom, God demonstrates it. And even just if you follow this life of this man.
Dr. Mane,
yes.
If you remember when the disciples came back, and I think Christ was telling them, do not rejoice because the demons and all that trembled, but rejoice because, you know, Christ is in you, something like that. I think because sometimes when, you know, you achieve that success and you achieve that, you know, win over the power, sometimes you forget where the power is coming from. You think it's you, you know. And you see many ministries, good men and women of God begin on the right track. Once they start demonstrating the power, and, you know, they lose
get lost.
Focus. They think it's their ability.
True. And for sure, and that's why at times God delays certain things, because he just sees our hearts are not right, and it will destroy us. Just like a good father will not give a toddler a car, he will not give it because the heart is not right. And anyway, there's so much to learn in the Bible. And just think of this man, Philip. God tells him to leave everything in Samaria and just go and look for one man, Ethiopian. Can you imagine? Which pastor in our time will leave this crowd, will leave this revival in Samaria, where he is now demonstrating all this power, to go to the desert and just follow after one Ethiopian? Now, think of that. That is food for thought. Now, that tells us that even if you get to that level, you must still be hearing the voice of God. And God can tell you, leave and go somewhere else. I need you somewhere else. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you've called us to just wait on you, to just spend time in your presence. That it's not really just about power that we are after, but the Lord, it's the advancement of your kingdom, O God. The Lord, we shall be established. We shall establish your kingdom for your glory, O God. And I thank you for every situation that we are facing, that my listeners are facing, that needs your power, O God. I speak that an answer. I release the answers in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the tools of power that you've given us, and by it we conquer every work of the devil. We come against sickness, we come against attacks of the devil, we come against addictions, we come against poverty, we come against everything that is holding them back, anything that is holding back your children that is not a demonstration of the kingdom of God. We take it away in the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak healing, I speak life, and I speak breakthrough in your lives of the children, O God. Even as we have a day that, Lord, they that want to enter your kingdom, that, Lord, you may forgive their sins, even as they believe and accept Jesus into their lives this morning or this day, O God. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Have a blessed day and shalom. Bye.